Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Gateway to the Smokies. This podcast is about America's most visited national park, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding towns. This area is filled with ancient natural beauty, a deep storied history, and rich mountain cultures that we explore with weekly episodes. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, a man of the world, but also with deep roots in these mountains. My family has lived in the Great Smokies for over 200 years. My business is in travel, but my heart is in the mountains of Smoky Mountains, North Carolina. Today, we're going to learn about the national park from an actual park ranger. But first, I'm going to give you a little insight in some children literacy here in the mountains. So some of you might know that I have two-year-old twins. I think I mentioned that last week. But this is my second rodeo, so I also have a 28-year-old son. So I've had a little bit of experience of bringing kids into the Smoky Mountains. But that's another story. Right now, for my twins, I'm looking for interesting programs to have fun and educate them as well. You know, a lot of things were closed last year, but things are starting to open up. In that spirit, I have two programs to tell you about. And one of them we're already experiencing, and one I'm anticipating experiencing. The Great Smokies Mountains National Park, in partnership with the University of Tennessee Extension Institute of Agriculture, and as well as the Great Smoky Mountains Association, is pleased to invite visitors to experience the Storybook Trail of the Smokies. It's an initiative dedicated to promoting literacy in nature. Visitors will have the opportunity to experience a Smokies-themed book through trailside activities and on-the-trail story pages to read along the one-mile Cosby Nature Trail near the Cosby Campground. It began April 3rd, but it goes through May 30th, and it also comes back in the fall. The superintendent, Cassius Cass, says that it's an immersive approach for young readers to experience the stories of the Smokies in a way that brings them to life on the trail. Over this eight-week period, four different books will be highlighted for two-week periods along the Nature Trail. Each of the books, aimed at various reading levels, will be accompanied by educational prompts to encourage interaction with the trail. The Storybook Trail is free to the public and accessible 7 days a week. The spring books lineups include Singing Creek by Morgan Simmons, which is May 1st to the 14th, and The Troublesome Cub by Lisa Horstman, which is May 15th through 30th. On the first Saturday of each book's rotation, the author will be present at the trailhead to interact with the participants. We are going to be here in North Carolina at that time, and I'm going to take my kids to one of those, I think, as long as my wife agrees, but I think she will. Another great program we participate in for a couple of years is Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, and it's dedicated to inspire a love of reading by gifting books free of charge to children from birth to age five. Inspired by her father's inability to read and write, Donna started her Imagination Library in 1995 for the children within the Smoky Mountain region. Today, her program spans five countries and gifts over 1 million free books each month to children around the world. Dolly said she was inspired by her childhood. She said, "When I was growing up in the hills of East Tennessee, I knew my dreams would come true. I know there are children in your community with their own dreams. They dream of becoming a doctor or an inventor or a minister. Who knows? Maybe there's a little girl whose dream is to be a writer and singer. The seeds of these dreams are often found in books, and those seeds can help you plant in your community that you help plant in your community can grow across the world." They're fine books. They're beautiful. We get them, and then we give them to after our kids have looked at them, and we make sure they keep them in pristine shape. We give them to other children who pass them around. It's a wonderful program. So somebody knows about wonderful programs is my guest today, Arthur Butch McDade. He's known as Butch, I think. And he's a retired park ranger with the National Park Service. He has worked at many of our national parks and finished up his career working at the Great Smokies National Park, where his field school programs have been extremely popular. He still conducts them as a part-time employee in retirement. He is an author and he is an avid hiker who knows the park like the back of his hand, and he is an accomplished guide. Hello, Butch.
Hello, Joseph. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's a beautiful day out there. That I have a beautiful backdrop, but mine is an image. Yours is live. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, these are the Smokies way out. They're the foothills, I guess you'd say.
The foothills. Well, they start to be the Smokies. It's a beautiful view, though. So you're a retired ranger with the Park Service. Can you tell us which parks where you worked and for how long?
Yeah. I got 30 years in there. I used to not have this gray beard, but after 30 years, I got a gray beard. So I guess that's for an old ranger. But I started, Joseph, down around Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm a permanent job. I'm a native of Nashville, Tennessee, over there in Middle Tennessee. And my parents had taken me to the Smokies a number of times. And we'd also gone to Mammoth Cave up in Kentucky. And there was some Civil War battlefields around Nashville. So I kind of grew up with going to these places often with my parents on special occasions. So I got a chance when I was living in Chattanooga to apply for a job down at a battlefield called Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park. It's a Civil War battlefield, big place. And I spent 5 years there, another 5 years up on Lookout Mountain, which is a part of that battlefield. And actually before I got that permanent job, I'd worked one summer out in Glacier National Park in Montana, which was incredible. Here I am, a Tennessee boy. I've only seen the Smoky, which are great. I've only seen black bears, which are great. But you go out to Montana, you got the, by God, Rocky Mountains, and you have grizzly bears. It's totally different. And of course, when you get out there, the nice rangers, you know, give you some safety information, and they stress, oh, now this is grizzly country. You know, you got to be careful. And I'm a solo hiker. I hike most of the time alone. Probably shouldn't, but I do. And so I was alone in Glacier for much of the time, but never had a problem, to be honest with you. And so I kind of dispelled that image that there's a big, bad grizzly bear waiting to kill and eat every tourist that comes to Glacier and Yellowstone. Doesn't happen very, very rarely.
Very rarely.
But anyway, I did start at Chickamauga down in Chattanooga area, North Georgia and Chattanooga, and enjoyed talking about history. I had a history major in college, so I enjoyed that. But my heart was really in some of the green areas. I did spend another couple of years over at Shiloh Battlefield, which is in west of Nashville. And from there, I went up to a place, Joseph, on the Cumberland Plateau of Tennessee and Kentucky, a place called the Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area. It is a National Park Service site, but it was a recreation area and So I was up on this place is part of the National Park Service, and rangers and other people staff it just like they do in the Smokies. But it is a recreation area, which means they allow hunting and fishing and off-road vehicles, which aren't allowed in the Smokies. But other than that, it was a lovely area, undeveloped, got about 900,000 visitors a year versus the 12 million that come to the Smokies. So there was a lot of solitude up there. And while there, I wrote a book about that area for the University of Tennessee Press, if you don't mind me showing it.
No, go for it.
The Natural Arches of the Big South Fork came out at about 20 years ago on the natural features, the sandstone arches. That was fun to do on my own time. And I got the University of Tennessee Press to publish that. And so that's an area that's dear to my heart, that area up on the Cumberland Plateau. It's so different than the Appalachian Mountains. Cumberland Plateau is a land of plateaus and gorges. Uh-huh. Versus in the Smokies, you have a land of valleys and mountains. So uh-huh. They're all interesting. And then from there, from the Big South Fork, I went down to a place still in Tennessee called the Obed Wild and Scenic River, which is north of Knoxville, right on the, again, near the Kentucky border generally. And from there, after about 5 or 6 years, I got to go to the Smokies, which really was my destination park, being a Tennessean. I've always thought the Smokies were my mountains. Uh-huh. I spent time here. My parents brought me here, and I live here now. I am a Tennessean, so these are my home mountains, and I'm married to a girl, from, lady from Knoxville. And so we love it here.
And now, is the Smokies your favorite place to work? And why you, why is it, besides being your hometown?
Yeah, it was a great place. I'd always wanted it because you can get everything. You got the front country attractions, you know, if you like the places to go to eat and have residences and lodging. But you can find wilderness, too. A lot of people say, oh, you can't find wilderness in the Smokies. Oh, yes, you can. Just don't go right to the center of it. Go to the edges. Go to the periphery. A lot of backcountry there. And I like that backcountry. And even if you're not a aggressive hiker, there are a lot of little small hikes you can take. Any hike, you can only go, you can make it as hard as you want. You can go in on a hard hike for a mile, turn back, or you can go in on a hard trail for 10 miles. People can find their own niche in our national parks. And the Smokies, even with all the people, still has a lot of solitude, in addition to all the other accoutrements that we want in life or need in life.
Right. There is a lot of backcountry still. There's backcountry camping and things like that, right, in the Smokies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got about 150 trails, 900 miles if you count everything, including the unmaintained trails. Lots of stuff. Some of the trails are flat, like the Little River Trail for a while. You can go in as far as you want to. When it starts going uphill, turn back. Find your own niche. You be in shape. I always tell people, be in shape. Hike with other people. Don't go alone. Always let somebody know where you're going. But if you follow those few safety rules, which are common sense, let somebody know where you're going, be in shape, have the right equipment, you'll love it. And guess what? It's free.
It's free. It's like the only national park that doesn't charge admission, right?
Well, yeah, it's for a full-scale national park, very rare to have no admission fee. And that's been with the Smokies ever since its inception in 1934.
And how long did you work for the Great Smokies National Park?
For the last 5 years of my career.
Yeah, last 5 years?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
From 2005 up to 2010. But I had visited here, of course, since the 1950s. My parents have pictures of us being up with a picture of the chimney tops behind us in about 1955 or 6. I've been coming up here for decades, but made it, unfortunately, my last stop on a 30-year career.
Now, there's multiple facilities in the park, right? Did you work at all of them, or did you have one that you were associated with?
No, I stayed pretty much at the Sugarlands Visitor Center, which is right there outside of Gatlinburg, about 2 miles south of Gatlinburg. We call it, there's no one main visitor center, but it certainly was had the biggest visitation. There's another one over at Oconalefty and a smaller one out in Cades Cove. But I was at the Sugarlands Visitor Center my whole time, which gets a lot of use. It gets a lot of use being near Gatlinburg.
The Great Smokies National Park made the mistake of making Gatlinburg the main entrance, right? It should have been in near Maggie Valley, I think. But
I'll let you have that comment.
That'll be my argument to win, right? All right. When we come back, we'll talk about more about the national parks and what you've done there and what you know. All right.
Every section of the park is fabulous.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast and my guest, Butch McDade. Hello, Butch. So I wanted to ask you, after you spent 30 years in the Park Service, last five of this was with the Great Smokies Mountains National Park. So you decided to retire and you decided to live in East Tennessee, but you could have been anywhere because you'd been traveling around a lot. Why did you decide to stay in East Tennessee near the Smokies?
No, it's so great. It's someplace I want to write about. I still, you know, I always tell people you can learn something about the Smokies all the time. You never find out everything. So having an interest in the Smokies way back, you think by now you know it all or kind of have a grasp, but every time you find something new, like they find new species, you find new historical facts. Plus it's home. I'm a Tennessean by birth. And as I said earlier, I've always thought the Smoky Mountains were my mountains, my mountains. I love the Rockies. Gosh, nothing more spectacular than the Rockies or the Sierra Nevadas out west. But these are home mountains. I think everybody has to have a home range, and this is my home range.
There you go. Well, that's my home range, too. So we got something in common. You know, I had a section on hiking, but I want to know from a man that's lived there, what are some of your favorite trails and places in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park?
No, I love the Appalachian Trail. I like any of the high country, Mount LeConte, Chimneys, Clingman's Dome, anything along the high country. I love, you know, I love all the parks, and you have to start out sometimes in low country to get up there. But boy, once you get to the 5,000 foot level and above, Joseph, it's just so different. Yeah. First off, heck of a lot cooler up there. It hardly gets over about 80, even in the summer. When we're 95 down here in the edge of the Smokies, you might be, you know, upper 70s or low 80s up in the high country of the Smokies. So I'm really prone to love the high country. Yeah. Fortunately, in the Smokies, you know, there's a couple cheat routes where you can drive right up to Newfound Gap and be at 5,000 feet. You don't have to slug up out of the valley. And you can drive up to Clingman's Dome if you can find a parking spot on particularly a weekend, and you're already high. There's still nothing. People always say, well, once you get up there, is it flat? No. The very top of the mountain, there's undulations. Nothing's, you know, there's no real flat stretch that goes on very far in the Smokies, unless it's way down in the lower elevations. So I'm prone to the Appalachian Trail, the trail up to, say, the Chimneys, the trail to all the five trails up to Mount LeConte, going up to Clingman's, going out on the Appalachian Trail, either west or east. You just can't beat the high country. Plus, I love Cades Cove, the beauty of that valley. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful place. And Cataloochee on your side of the mountain, too, that beautiful valley of Cataloochee.
If you had If you had advice for a tourist, you know, this show is, you know, also trying to attract tourists, and they were wanting to have, and they were in for a weekend and they had one day, what would you recommend they do?
Well, in the old days, the Rangers would always tell people, you got to see Klingman's Dome, you got to see Cade's Cove. And in the old days, they'd even say, you ought to go over to the Cherokee Indian Reservation. All those are great ideas and great destinations. I would tell people, those are great destinations. Don't go on a weekend. Don't go on Saturday and Sunday. There'll be a lot of people there. Try to get a Tuesday trip into Cade's Cove. Try to get a Tuesday drive up to Klingman's Dome and get early, too. And you'll enjoy it. So I still like those big destination places, even though they lots of people go there. But why not? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we tell a visitor to go to the to get the great view at the top of Klingman's Dome? Why not tell send them to Cade's Cove? You just have to plan that some days are going to be busy. If you wait till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's always going to be busy. If you get out there right when you know at daybreak when they open up Cade's Cove, except on the days when they close it for bikes. And do a weekday trip, you'll find that with a little patience, and that's one thing about all our national parks. I've been to Grand Tetons. I've been to Yellowstone, and they were backed up cars. Mm-hmm. It's not specific to the Smokies. These places are our national treasures. Sure, people are going to come there. Just try to plan it on a day when there'll be less people and get an early start.
Is there anything on a Saturday that you think would be less traveled and it'd be worthwhile that you would say, go see this.
Yeah, there's still some places I'd go up to Cosby on the Tennessee side, Cosby, the facility at Cosby. There's some trails there like the Henwalla Falls and other trails. And I'd go over to Big Creek on your side. I'd take a trip into Cataloochee on a Saturday. That road, that gravel road in there doesn't get as crowded, but even then get an early start. Yeah. I'd go into places like, if you can make it, go all the way over to 20 Mile. My point is go to the periphery of the park.
Right.
Edges and do a little map study. Get your facts, you know, learn your routes and go with a group of people. But I never shy away from saying, don't come there on a Saturday. I wouldn't go to some of the more popular spots on a Saturday because there'll be lots more people and the quality of visit might suffer.
Right.
But all you can do, if that's all you can do a Saturday to go to where you want to go, just be patient. Always come to the Smokies and all our national parks with patience on your side, and you'll enjoy it.
So you have been involved with the Smoky Mountain Field School. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I probably had about a 12-year relationship with the University of Tennessee's Smoky Mountain Field School. They started that school back in 1975. So it's been around a while. And its goal is to bring people into the Smokies with knowledgeable guides who will discuss the history of the Smokies and the Southern Appalachians. They will discuss the natural history in addition to the human history. They'll discover some places of historic value and scenic views, talk about science in the park. It is a very, it is a classroom in essence, a field school. And they've been true to that ever since they started. I got involved by being invited, my wife and I, Lila Wilson, we were invited 8 years ago, 10 almost, to lead for 5 years. We led a Smoky Mountain Field School October hike up to the lodge atop Mount LeConte, the LeConte Lodge. And it was great. We usually had about 20 people who had signed up through the Smoky Mountain Field School's web page, which is, again, you can Google it by just doing Smoky Mountain Field School, and then they'll have a agenda. There'll be classes that are available, and you can online register. So I was doing one with my wife for 5 years or so, going up to Mount LeConte in October, which was fantastic. We even got snowed in a couple of times. In October. And then I also do an annual Elkmont tour, the historic Elkmont district for the Smoky Mountain Field School. I've been doing that for over a decade, man, which is always exciting because I love that history. I'm a historian, history major, and a historian is my ilk. And also I'm going to have another one coming up this year in September for the Smoky Mountain Field School, which is a hike out to the Walker sisters' home site in Little Greenbrier section of the park. And that's always, I've been doing that for about a decade also. So basically, Elkmont hike every year, 5 years leading the overnight hike up to Mount LeConte, to LeConte Lodge with my wife, and then doing the Walker sisters several times, including this coming September. And everybody can join in by going to, I think it's like www.smokesmfs.org. Just do a search and you can register online and see the schedule, see what's coming up.
What are the kind of topics? What kind of topics?
A bunch. They have things on bear management, bears, deer management, the geography, the geology of the park, the biodiversity. There must be probably, Joseph, in there before COVID. Last year, the Smoky Mountain Field School had to stop most of their outings until I think probably the latter part of the year. But there's probably, I'm going to guess, 60 different topics, ranging from salamanders to biology, botany, cultural history, architectural history, and even hiking, just recreational opportunities, how to hike safely. The whole range of activities in the Smokies, a whole range of topics are covered by that program.
What's your favorite topic?
Well, I'm pretty much a Mount LeConte guy. As I said earlier, I gave up that hike to a younger person, a buddy of mine. But if I could do it over again, if I was younger, I would continue to do the Mount LeConte overnighter, which I think during COVID, they may have canceled that temporarily. So again, I would caution people to check with their website. But I also like Elkmont, and I've also done one other favorite hike and topic of mine, Joseph, is a hike and a talk about Horace Kephart, one of the great writers of the Smokies, who wrote a number of good books. If I might just show one, I have it here. Yeah. Our Southern Highlanders. If anybody wants to read a great book on the Smokies written in 1913 and still in print today, read Horace Kephart's Our Southern Highlanders. Read his Camping and Woodcraft, which came out in 1906 and still in print. I've had the occasion of taking numbers of people in on hikes in Deep Creek and other places where Kephart had some of his activities as he lived in and around this area prior to the national park. I've even had the great honor of going into some of those places, which are today inside the park, with his great-granddaughter named Libby Kephart Hargrave. Got to explore a number of places with her. And she is one of the great biographers and documentarians of her ancestor and has kept that Horace Kephart tradition alive. And there are quite a few people out there who really admire Horace Kephart and his life and his work for the Smokies, because he did a lot to help protect this park, even though he was an outsider. He was not from here. So it's a fascinating topic. That's one of my favorites, too.
He's like considered like the grandfather or something of the Smoky Mountain Park or some sort of thing like that. He's like the.
Yeah. I'd say he's one of the beacons, one of those grand figures in the early days prior to the park. Actually, he died in 1931. So the park was established in 1934, but he knew it was coming. It was authorized. He saw it was coming, and he spent his whole life here. He lived in the Smokies, in places like Hazel Creek, in Bryson City and in the Deep Creek area. The North Carolina side particularly was his bailiwick. And he gave us these early books that talked about the pre-National Park people. That's the value. In addition to that, he was a fascinating outdoorsman. He was a master of equipment and how to handle it and how to use it. That's his book here, Camping and Woodcraft, which even though it was printed in 1906, and some of it is outdated as far as the modernity of the new equipment, this is a Bible for the outdoors. People ought to read it. They sell these books, Camping and Woodcraft, Our Southern Highlanders, and even a new biography on Horace Kephart, and even Libby Kephart's documentary on our ancestor. They sell those items in our visitor centers in the park. So go by the visitor center, ask those people, what do you have on Horace Kephart? You'll find there's some great stuff, and it's well worth reading and watching, and any purchases you make help the National Park through the Great Smoky Mountains Association, which you had Frances Feigert on last week. She did a great job of explaining fine agency.
So when we come back, we're going to talk more about your literary adventures as well as your knowledge of just the area in general.
listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Howdy. This is Joseph Franklin McElroy, the Gateway to the Smokies podcast, with my guest, Butch McDade, who is a retired park ranger and expert on the Smoky Mountain area. So, Butch, you know, we talked about the Great Smoky Mountains, but, you know, I like a lot of other places, you know, in the mountains. Like, I like the Pisgah National Forest, and I like to go over the Nantahala and do some rafting. What are some of the other places you like in the Smoky area in terms of natural wonders?
Well, you just hit upon it. There are some great places. You know, the Smokies has 500,000 acres over that. And then we've got the Pisgah National Forest nearby. We've got the Nantahala National Forest nearby. And we've got the Cherokee National Forest, all adjacent to the Smokies. So like you're just alluding to, my goodness, that's a couple million acres of public land. So in addition to the Smokies, you can go to places like Roan Mountain up here in East Tennessee, above Johnson City, to the east of Johnson City, and near on the west of Boone, and fabulous area. You can go paddling in different places like south of us. There's the Ocoee River down in Polk County, Tennessee. I worked a couple of seasons as a guide there. Lovely stuff. You got the Pigeon River here, got the Nantahala River, we got the Hiawassee River down below, we got the various other rivers north of us, like the Nolichucky and the Old Bed Wild and Scenic River, the Big South Fork. This is, like you're alluding to, Joseph, we're in a mecca of outdoor activities here with several million acres, and I mean million acres of public lands available to the public for mountain biking, for fishing, for hunting, for hiking. So my favorites, again, as you just said, are some of the high countries, like it over there around Grandfather Mountain, like it over there by Mount Mitchell State Park, like it off the Blue Ridge Parkway in places like Shining Rocks Wilderness. I like it down south of us at a place called the Big Frog Wilderness Area, City Cove Wilderness Area, south of the Smokies. It's a lifetime of activity. I mean, if you want to get into the outdoors, You can find it here. You can find it here. There are guidebooks. Read those books. Go with, get in touch with people in a hiking club that can get you started.
Mm-hmm.
The Mountain Hiking Club out of Knoxville, the Asheville Hiking Club. The high country around here is lovely.
Yeah.
Much of it is free. The national forest lands usually are free. In the park, in the Smokies, is free except for overnight backpacking. All you have to do is invest in some good equipment. Horace Kephart would tell us, go to the mountains, but also have some good equipment and know how to
have some good shoes. And plenty of water. Yeah.
Extra water, extra food, and some rain gear.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a feat. You know why it's called the Smokies? Because of the humidity. And while we don't rain all day, every day, many days, I mean, it's very seldom that we get a day where you rain all day long. But you usually will get a, during the summer especially, you'll usually get an hour of rain.
Yeah, yeah. 85 to 80 inches of rain up on the high country, like at Clingman's Dome, into the valley, like at Cherokee, you might get 45 inches. So it does get more snow and precipitation and rain up there. But just be prepared for it. Remember that old Boy Scout and Girl Scout slogan, be prepared. That's good stuff.
And you know, one of my favorite places to take kids, speaking of scouts, I remember this, is to go up to Sliding Rock, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is like, what is it, like 100 feet of a waterfall that's not like a direct drop. It's like a 100 feet slanted drop, and it's been worn so smooth that you can just get on it, and the water will just take you on a slide into a deep pool, and kids just love it.
I've seen pictures. We have not gone over there, but I understand it's very crowded on weekends, but it looks like a heck of a lot of fun.
Well, you go up that, I think it's 276 from Waynesville all the way to Hendersonville, and it goes up this little winding road through forests, and it's very backwoods, and then you go, I think there's a couple places along the way, but Sliding Rock is one. So there's like all these little hidden gems, little waterfalls, things like that, that you can find all over the place.
Just be safe around those places. You know, you can get hurt sliding off rocks and stuff. And most waterfall areas are pretty prone to getting hurt. But I know the Forest Service, I think, allows that use there. So as long as you're in harmony with all the land agency management regulations, and be careful, enjoy.
I think Sliding Rock is designated as being something that people can do, and they've made it pretty safe. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, besides the wilderness, what are your favorite towns to go visit? What are your favorite things not in the wilderness to go do in the Smoky area?
No, we like towns. And over here, my wife and I, we go over there a lot, bicycle ride on that about 11-mile road, I should say paved path. I don't get much on the main roadways with bikes. That's kind of dangerous. But it is lovely over in Townsend area. I like the area around Asheville. You guys in Asheville have a great town. We like Boone, North Carolina. I like up there at Hot Springs, North Carolina, off the Appalachian Trail. That's a nice little town. We like the Nantahala area. I do a lot of used to do a heck of a lot of boating. Still do some canoe trips and do some rafting trips. Can't beat the Nantahala in the Nantahala National Forest. A bunch of outfitters there you can get a trip on. So anywhere that's not too crowded, but scenic, and that you can come on every day of the week, not just on weekends. Again, I try to stay away from weekends for much of our destination because of the crowds. But boy, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, before everybody arrives for the weekend, you can enjoy the heck out of these places. Just be safe in anything in the background. Let people know where you are. Be careful. Watch for dangers. And take that extra food and extra clothing if you're going to the wilderness, and just be safe. Carry a first aid kit and learn how to use it, and be prudent. Prudence.
Right. So you are a good writer. You've already mentioned a book, right? You mentioned one book, but you've written quite a number of books, haven't you, and articles. What? Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, well, thank you, Joe. I did this first book. Way back in the 90s, it's called Old Smoky Mountain Days. And it's an anthology, a little survey of the writings of a guy I just mentioned a moment ago, Horace Kephart, who wrote those fine early books about outdoor life and the Smokies. I profile him and his fascinating life, not only in the Smokies, but in the wilderness of other places. And also profile in this little book the great work of a man named Joseph Sargent Hall. I've written some articles about him. And here's an article I wrote. There's a picture of Joe Hall. He came here in the 1930s as a temporary employee during the Great Depression, and he started to interview the mountain people, some of the people that were still in the Smokies before they were moved out, and some that had just been moved out. And his goal was to interview these mountain people, these Smoky Mountain people on both the North Carolina and the Tennessee side, and get their stories and let them talk and hear their voices. He actually recorded these people on portable tape recorders that he took into the back roads of the Smokies. And we have those recordings still today. They're in the park in the archives, and they're up at the Smithsonian Institution and in the Library of Congress. So we have real Smoky Mountain people on tape from the 1940s, particularly done by this man named Joseph Sargent Hall. So I profiled him because he is really the pioneer linguist and folklorist of the Smokies. And he was doing this work way back in the 30s. And he kept coming back here, even though he lived much of his life in California as a college professor. He kept coming back here, fascinated by the mountain people and their language. And then I profiled, lastly, but not least in this book, a man from Knoxville, Tennessee, a lawyer, University of Tennessee graduate, who became a lawyer, but who became a great leader in wilderness conservation, a guy named Harvey Broom. Harvey Broom's not that well known, sadly. I think he merits more consideration from our viewership and our readership. But he was a fascinating fellow. He helped found the Wilderness Society, which is a major national conservation outfit. He helped found the Smoky Mountain Hiking Club. He was an inveterate hiker along with his wife, Ann, and they loved the Smokies. And he wrote some fabulous books that were published after his death, mainly from his notes and from his journal, one of which I recommend to everybody. In addition to reading the books of Horace Gephardt, I recommend a book called Out Under the Sky of the Great Smokies, which is a mountain journal published after the author's death. And the author was none other than Harvey Broom, B-R-O-O-M-E. And it's a fascinating personal perspective on the Smokies. So people should check the literature of the Smokies out. There's a lot of books out there, a plethora of them, but you can't go wrong by reading Horace Gephardt's works, Harvey Broom's works, and Laura Thornburg, and many others. Those early books give us a flavor for what the Smokies were like, say, in the 40s and 50s, and how we interpreted them at that time.
Now, you also contributed to a book about the Appalachians, right?
Yes, sir, I did. I happen to have it right here. The Encyclopedia of Appalachia, big, thick tome put out by the University of Tennessee Press. So I didn't write all of this, Joe. I just wrote a part of it. But there were a number of collaborators or contributing writers. I was invited to participate on this in the early 2000s, and I wrote a handful of entries on this tome. And it is a tome, which is a real comprehensive guide to the history of the Southern Appalachia and the literature of the Southern Appalachia region, and the recreational activities. My contributions were mainly on the recreational themes of mountain biking, hunting and fishing, and whitewater. So those are my interests. My main interest is conservation history. I'm fascinated by what happened here in the Smokies, how we got a national park, mainly because North Carolina people and mainly because Tennessee people wanted a park, not some federal bureaucrat in Washington. Local people wanted this park. Local people put up much of the money. Local people, states, bought the land. North Carolina, Tennessee bought a lot of the land. And the feds came in and managed it. So it's a great conservation victory. I also always say to this, even though we got a national park, which is the most visited in the nation, Joseph, we also have to always take our hat off, and I'm doing it right now, to the mountaineers of North Carolina and Tennessee who had to leave when the park was established. We owe those people a lot. They had to give up their farm. I think you would agree, as a local person, North Carolinians gave up a lot. Tennesseans gave up a lot to move out.
And don't forget, the Cherokee had to give up as well. Yeah, they had lands and things like that, and they also had to contribute to it as well.
Indeed.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the future and what's coming up for you in the park.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
The new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast and my guest, Butch McDade of retired park ranger with the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and also an author of many great books and articles. So, Butch, before we get into the future, I was doing some research on you and I came across an article that I couldn't read, but it was interesting to me. It looked like you had done something cleaning the marker, the marker of the wandering boy, and I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, that was an interesting. I've been fascinated by that young man named Ed McKinley. It's one of those sad stories of the Smokies of a young boy who vanished, basically died trying to go over the mountains in early 1900s. And he got caught in a snowstorm and died. And nobody could identify this kid until about 1975, when his younger sister, made an inquiry to the park ranger, a buddy of mine, a man I knew before he died, named Glenn Cardwell, at Sugarlands Visitor Center. 1975, this young lady comes in, or I guess she wasn't young then, she's middle age, and she asks the rangers there, did they have any records of her brother? And the rangers at that time said, well, when did it occur? And they said, well, it was in the early, about 1912 to 15. That's what she told them. And they said, well, we don't have those records here because the park didn't come into being until 1934. So that young lady was about ready to leave, or that lady. But one of the rangers said, hold on a minute. Let me check with one of the long standing rangers here, who was a man named Glenn Cardwell. And Glenn was from this area. Glenn had worked his whole career, 34 years, in the Sugarlands Visitor Center. And to make a long story short, this woman articulated what had happened to her brother from what she knew. And that led Glenn Cardwell, this ranger, to call around to some of the people he knew, particularly a lady named Lucinda Ogle in Gatlinburg. And to make a long story short, by getting together with the sisters and getting together with these people in Gatlinburg who were from that community of the Sugarlands, they finally resolved that this young man who had been buried in an unmarked grave for 60 years was indeed the brother of the woman that came in.
Wow.
It was a great closure.
That's a great story. And also, I think you, I don't want to, we can't get into it. We don't have time, but I think that Ranger you actually wrote about, and he's the man that never got mad, right? I thought that was a beautiful testament to him.
Fine fellow.
Yeah. So people can look online to find out more about that.
Yeah.
So, so do you have any upcoming literary projects you'd like to tell us about?
Well, yeah, thank you. I do have, I help contribute to a Great Smoky Mountain Association, blog that Frances Feigert puts out called Smokies Live. In fact, I got one that she and her good people put out today, short article I wrote about John Muir and his conservation legacy. People can find that on the Great Smoky Mountains Association webpage under the heading of Smokies Live, which is a online magazine for articles. So I work with Frances on a monthly blog, a monthly post. Also, by the way, if I mention one other thing about the Great Smoky Mountain Association, in addition to working with the Smoky Mountain Field School, I've done a number of hikes over the years with Great Smoky Mountain Association, taking their members into backcountry sites and on historical tours. So I want to mention that about having worked with a number of people in Great Smoky Mountain Association on getting their members out. And always, those have always been fun, too.
Well, that's one of the benefits of membership. I don't think we even talked about that last week, but the benefit of membership is to get those tours and hikes. So with the very experienced guides like yourself. So I think that's fabulous.
Yeah. And I also work, do a number of articles. I'm a contributing writer to a magazine in your backyard over there in Waynesville called Smoky Mountain Living. Jonathan Austin and his good folks, they put out a great magazine every 2 months. And it is timely. It's got features on the cultural heritage, shopping, places to go to. My contributions have been mostly in the historical realm, on the history of this area. I'm going to be doing one, just got a project from them about Frederick Law Olmsted and his work on the Biltmore estate in Asheville. That's going to be a fine project. So I work with that magazine quite a bit. And also a contributing writer pretty regularly to a magazine called the Tennessee Conservationist out of Nashville. So I stay relatively busy. So I'm working right now.
I like it. Yeah. So if people want to get a hold of your books, they can go to Amazon, right?
Yeah, most of them are on Amazon. That's the best way. You can go to University of Tennessee Press or Amazon or Aid Books and get that Nashville.
And they're under your formal name, which is which took me a second to figure out. It's not Butch McDade. It's Arthur McDade.
I'm an Arthur. I'm in trouble. But it is Arthur McDade, A-R-T-H-U-R.
Now, do you have a website or a way people can reach out and say, hey?
I do not have a website per se. I do have a page called Smokies Guide, which people can comment on. I even posted this podcast today. So if anybody has any questions, please post on a comment and I'll be glad to get up with them.
That's smokiesguide.com or is that Facebook page?
It's a Facebook, yeah. It's a Facebook page.
All right, great. Well, we've run out of time. I've got to mention a few other sponsors, but I really appreciated you coming on today. It's been wonderful. Your books will be up also with Amazon links on our websites, which I'll mention in just a second. And I hope to meet you when I come down there. All right.
Let's do that. Another good Irishman, McElroy.
There we go. So this podcast is on the talkradio.nyc network. There's a lot of great podcasts on this network. I would appreciate it if you go and listen to one. There's one after this program that explores New York City. So you can go from the urban, from the rural to the urban to find out wonderful things to do. This podcast, you can find out more information about this podcast by going gateway to the smokies.fun, which has a subscription to our newsletter. It will allow you to know when new things are coming up and when new episodes are coming up, and where we also have links to various books of our guests and things like that. I want you to imagine a place evocative of the motor courts of the past, yet modern and vibrant with a chic Appalachian feel, a place for adventure and for relaxation. Imagine a place where you can fish in a mountain heritage trout stream, grill the catch on a fire, and eat accompanied by fine wine or craft beers. Imagine a place with old-time music and world cultural sounds. There's no other place like the Metal Ark Motel in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. and it's in the Gateway to the Smokies. We are the starting point for all your Smoky Mountain adventures, and your Smoky Mountain adventure starts with where you stay. And then another sponsor is SmokiesAdventure.com, which is an event information and listing site for the Smokies, where you can find information about hiking and weddings, venues, and other great things to do. And it's Smokies, plural, adventure.com. And you can go there and also sign up for a newsletter and find places to stay and places and things to do. I want to thank you. We're having a great guest next week on this podcast. It's the same time, Tuesdays from 6 to 7, and we'll be exploring other aspects of the Great Smoky Mountains. And it's been good talking to you today.
Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.